Hi, I'm Ben Kay. When I'm not dropping balls over try lines in World Cup finals, I'm downloading the latest Egg Chasers rugby podcast.
Egg Chasers, welcome to episode 20 of the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. We don't take ourselves or the game too seriously. We just love the game of rugby. I'm Tim, that's JB.
Hi, Tim.
And that's Phil.
Hi, Tim.
Did you play at the weekend, Phil? You fit yet?
I did, yeah.
How'd you go on?
We won 19-14 in some of the worst conditions I've ever played rugby in. Playing on the World against Caldy, and there was very open pitch,
very barren,
very exposed, yeah, and sideways wind and sideways rain, and it was horrible.
Sideways running, forward passing,
not much running. There was lots and lots and lots of knock-ons. The ref probably let us get away with about a third of them, but there still must have been about 40 odd knock-ons.
JB, your team, Broughton Park, lost
badly,
and Wales lost.
They lost badly.
Me and Phil have been staying up round the clock on suicide watch.
We had to take his shoelaces away. We took his belt away. Plastic knives and forks in the Beardmore house.
I felt like Brian Moore.
Before we get on to Wales Island, which we are going to talk about, I'm afraid, JB, as well as the other Six Nations and Premiership action and all the transfer speculation and a dream team and some rugby hockey all coming up. JB, you were at a function, a financial-based function, was it?
No, I wasn't.
Where were you?
I was in the living room in Manchester listening to a pianist.
Why?
You went out to check out a pianist you might want at your wedding?
Correct.
Wow. How flash is this wedding going to be that you go and scope out a pianist? That's not the right kind of pianist. I want to... Wow. Anyway, let's have a listen to what you got when you were there.
Go for it. Hi, I'm Paul Sculthorpe, and I listen to Egg Chasers podcast.
That is wonderful.
I'm Paul Sculthorpe. So how did you come by meeting Paul Sculthorpe, the rugby league legend?
He was just there. He turned around. I thought, that is Paul Sculthorpe. I waited for him to nip off to the toilet. I didn't follow him before any wise cracks were made. I asked his friends, is that Paul Sculthorpe? And they said yes. Also in the bar was Ricky Hatton, but his friends looked a lot less friendly than Paul Sculthorpe's friends. So I didn't ask him if that's Ricky Hatton, and I didn't get a sign bite from Ricky Hatton, but I'm sure he does listen to the Egg Chasers podcast.
Oh, undoubtedly. And on that note, thank you very much for listening to this one, whether it's the first one you've listened to or you've been with us for a while now. Thank you for the kind reviews at iTunes and whatnot. Keep listening, subscribe and all that, and we'll keep it coming. There's lots of people been getting in touch, as you can as well. At Rugby Podcast is where we tweet from, and some people have been getting in touch, so let's look through the mailbag this week. Firstly, there was a bit of reaction to our dream team last week. We picked a movie dream team, picked a 15 of actors that we felt would suit particular positions. For example, the hooker would be performed by JB.
What did I say?
Julia Roberts. Julia Roberts, for example. And that all started because Nick Frost, who was a guest on last week's podcast, was a big rugby player himself, and his mentor was Jason Leonard.
Yeah,
so Simo says, I cannot believe you didn't put Clint Eastwood in your 15. What a second row enforcer he would be.
Back in the day.
Yeah, a bit of an enforcer, hard man.
Adam Cross says, says purely on his performance in Any Given Sunday, Jamie Foxx had to be considered.
Maybe he's a substitute.
Reserve 10.
Third reserve 10.
Stereo Mike, what about Joe Pesci at 9 instead of Peter Dinklage?
Peter Dinklage.
I'm not sure. I'm happy with Dinklage.
I do like this bit of contact we had from Rob Hirsch on Twitter. As I say, it's at Rugby Podcast. He said, in New Zealand, they call mini rugby the tag rugby, ripper rugby.
Yeah, I saw that.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that's a great name.
Do you know what upsets me? It upsets me that even in New Zealand, they're making them play tag rugby. They should just be straight into contact.
Nah.
At that age, they're not going to get hurt. They bounce back up.
No, it should be all about skills. It's all about space and finding the gaps and handling.
Oh, stop it now.
And they play four-a-side at a really young age.
Four-a-side?
Yeah, so you get more of the ball.
Wow.
But ripper rugby is more descriptive about what happens when you rip the tag off, and it just sounds cool.
Yeah, it's better than tag rugby, I guess.
Glad we know that one. Rich Holmes was not impressed at a Frenchman playing in the Six Nations wearing gloves. I thought we got rid of those gloves that people used to wear back in the day. I bet you had a pair of gloves, didn't you, JB?
I did. I had silver gloves to match my silver boots when I used to play on the wing at Colwyn Bay.
But how nice is France's away kit, by the way?
It's lovely. That is the number one kit.
It's
quite nice.
It's beautiful. And Matt Cooper says, basically re-quoted you, JB.
Wise man.
And said, lock someone in a basement for the first 20 years of life, then get them to ref a rugby match. Wayne Barnes.
He hates rugby, Wayne Barnes. He hates it.
Did you see him talking to Peter O'Mahony towards the end of the Ireland-Wales game? Peter O'Mahony, to be fair, should have shut his mouth, but was complaining at a decision. And he was talking to him like he was a little kid being put on the naughty step.
Yeah, Peter O'Mahony also said after the game that Ireland wanted it more. Have you seen this?
I saw his comment, yeah.
Yeah, so he said, Ireland wanted it more. And Jamie Roberts says, I'm very upset we all wanted it. Nobody wanted that game as much as O'Mahony. Every time they panned over to him, he's either crying or he was cheering or
he was like
flexing.
Muttering to himself.
Yeah. Try harder.
Pre-game workout had really kicked in.
Yeah, I was...
Pre-workout.
Very impressed.
See, last year's Ireland-Wales game at the Millennium Stadium was a one-half blitz. It was like a smash and grab by Ireland, and Wales couldn't quite make up the difference in the second half. Saturday was pure domination from minute one. An absolute kicking.
Well, I don't know. I watched the replay with Phil, and I think we were very competitive the first 2 minutes. We looked good. And then it fell away.
It was definitely even over those first 2 minutes.
Liam Williams. Oh, my God.
That was a statement from Ireland, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's yes. Put a big
no,
mark
no Sean
the
O'Brien in that team.
No, but Peter O'Mahony's man of the match, so who cares?
Yeah, and Peter O'Mahony's turnovers and the number of penalties he won from turnovers was quite incredible.
But
he did a great
job.
On
last week's podcast, that's where we were saying, you were saying that's where Wales' edge were. Faletau, Lydiate, Warburton.
Faletau looked all right. Well, bits. Here's the thing. No one really looked all right. It was the worst performance I've had, well, according to Gatlin, in 6 years. So it happens occasionally.
Does that include getting beat by Samoa and Argentina back-to-back last year?
Maybe. Who knows? Well, I don't want to talk about it.
No. We know you don't.
Move on.
I'll tell you, if you're a Scotland fan, you won't really want us to talk about Scotland either.
But... Who is a Scotland fan, by the way?
Hey, there were some people getting into the old fireworks and the Red Hot Chili Pipers at the weekend before the match.
If you're into pyrotechnics and reenactments of old battles, yeah, you want to go to Murrayfield. If you want to watch rugby, forget it.
How bad was Scotland?
It's just rubbish.
Yeah, they really weren't, because they've got some good players.
Yeah, here's the thing, right? I kind of think of Scotland the way I thought of Wales about 8 or 9 years ago, where you have suddenly building blocks of a team, and then to play like that, it was shocking. Because they do have a smattering of good players.
We've had on Twitter as well, someone's got in touch and posted a link to a Daily Telegraph article, which is basically, it's deliberately explosive, an incendiary article where Paul Hayward of the Telegraph is just trying to get a rise. But what he says is, and what do you make of this? Scotland's place in the Six Nations should be reviewed if their performance is this bad consistently.
Who would replace them?
He goes on to say, after mocking the Red Hot Chili Pipers and all the pyrotechnics before the match, since Italy joined and it became the Six Nations, Scotland have lost 52 of 72 matches. They've only won 2 of their last 12. And on Saturday, they lost 5 of their own lineouts, almost half, missed 27 tackles, gave away 16 penalties, 3% of time in the opponent's 22, having dropped their captain.
Right. Lineouts in particular. Okay, so let me guess right. You know the call, the other people don't. You throw the ball in when you're ready, and you jump when you know to jump, and yet you still lose half your lineouts. I'd understand being dominated on the gain line or losing the contact area. Losing half your lineouts is unacceptable.
And England got 95% of theirs.
Well, 100% in Hartley.
Hartley got 100%. He got 20 out of 20, which in those conditions is. Absolutely.
Does he not get like 120% because of the ones that Scotland lost?
I don't think you can attribute them to England's hooker.
No, maybe.
But if they insist on picking a hooker who can neither hook nor throw in,
it's a problem, isn't it?
Then yeah, they're really going to have a problem at the set piece.
He looks good though. He's got big arms.
Ross Ford looks
exceptional.
Looks
well, as in, you know, looks like a rugby player.
Like physically, he's not far off someone like Bismarck Duplessis. He's the benchmark, isn't it? This is one of the points we've made on the show before. The lower you go down the level of rugby, the more someone looks like they're going to be incredible, the worse they are.
Yeah.
So at Scotland's level, when they look like they're going to be incredible, they're terrible. But when they look like they're going to be terrible, like Jim Hamilton with his long, lanky legs and his big
socks rolled down.
Big belly.
With his tiny calves.
He's one of their best players.
Yeah.
His little veal calves.
Yeah. He has got little calves, doesn't he?
Yeah. So does, is that Lowe, the prop?
Murray Lowe.
Small calves.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
It's the last thing you want on a pro.
Can I just, talking about legs, can I just say, having been stood in the tunnel at Sale Sharks against Gloucester at the weekend, I was doing the match announcement.
Sarah Elgin.
No.
Okay, sorry, gone.
No, it wasn't a BT game. I was amazed at Matt Kovezic's legs.
Really?
Sounds like a very homoerotic thing to say.
Great leg power, terrible brain power.
It looked like the guys in the velodrome doing the sprint on the bikes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe he's another Lawson.
Maybe. Fancy a game of rugby social?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love one.
Let's have a game of rugby social then. Every rugby club up and down the land likes to have a bit of a social from time to time. We're no different on the Egg Chasers podcast, only this is social as in social media. So I've been looking at the Twitter accounts of some rugby players and I've got some questions based upon those. The first one, Phil and JB. Well, it's a Six Nations related one. And I'm sure you're going to know the answer to this. Who had a pop at Wales scrum half Mike Phillips after Ireland's win in Dublin? Was it A, Shane Phelan, once of Westlife? Was it B, Niall Horan of One Direction? Or was it C, Ronan Keating, once of Boyzone?
Christ, I thought I knew the answer to this, but I don't.
Who's been having a pop at Mike Phillips?
You go first then, Jay.
Well, I'm going to obviously go with the Irish fella. What's his face?
They're all Irish.
Oh, are they? Oh, I don't know. These kids.
Shane Phelan of Westlife.
Oh, Shane Phelan, maybe.
Niall Horan of One Direction or Ronan Keating of Boyzone?
Ronan Keating?
I'll go for Niall from One Direction.
You know it's right, don't you, Phil?
I've got a good feeling about this one.
It is correct. Well done, well done. It is.
I suppose Ronan Keating's that topical anymore, is he? He's not really current.
Well, it could have been. But basically what happened was it was towards the end when Paddy Jackson scored the try. There was that little kerfuffle behind the post and Mike Phillips bowled in. And actually, to be fair, he was only defending his teammate, I thought.
I couldn't work out if that little knee thing was bad or not. The other angle looked fine.
Well, yeah, Liam Williams like slid in as Paddy Jackson put the ball down and didn't really catch him, but it looked bad from some angles. And kind of, pushed him a little bit.
If I was going to run into knees of any professional rugby player, it would be Liam Williams. It's time.
Oh, no. Or Paddy Jackson.
It's like,
they're very bony, aren't they?
Like little knives stabbing you into your back.
So the Twitter spat was Niall Horan from One Direction tweeting after that incident. I'll try an accent. I'm sorry. I apologise if you're Irish. Mike Phillips looks like a child throwing his toys out of the pram. His attitude is terrible, like. Looks like a right arrogant Aegis.
Did he actually waste his characters on putting like on them?
Mike Phillips responded to Niall Horan saying, "Come down to training this week, big boy. Bring the rest of the Beatles with you."
Hang on, is that a compliment or not? Beatles were fairly good, weren't they?
I think it's very much taking the mickey.
Right. It's not that funny.
So I just want to say, lower the cage, let's get ready to rumble.
Can I just make a point about the fighting, the little scuffle? When you're 19 points down, don't fight. You look like an idiot. Like, if it's kind of even-ish, but they've just beaten you handily and you're throwing punches,
it was 24 points at that point because they just scored a try.
Exactly. You look like as embarrassed when that
next question then. In a break from having a Twitter row with Piers Morgan, Brian Moore complained about what food? Was it A, lettuce because it doesn't taste of anything? Was it B, vodka because he doesn't trust a drink you can make from potato? Or C, Pop-Tarts because the filling resembles magma?
For God's sakes!
God's sake!
So this was Brian Moore.
Brian Moore.
Okay, well, he's not gone away to have a swig of vodka.
Well, he might have gone away to eat some potatoes. So I'm going to go for the vodka.
No, I'm not.
Having eaten some delicious potatoes.
I can't imagine Brian Moore has a ready supply of Pop-Tarts either. He's not a single man from Oldham. So I'm going to say it is the first one, lettuce.
To vodka. And so lettuce.
No!
It was Pop-Tart.
It's Pop-Tarts.
He complained about Pop-Tart filling resembling magma.
Where the hell did he get these Pop-Tarts from?
I don't know. I've not seen. Are they still in the supermarkets?
Don't know. Maybe he's got them from the National Trust.
Yeah, on like the American shelf in supermarkets.
Anyway, this is what he sounded like when he just ate some Pop-Tart. Oh, no. This is what he sounded like when he ate a Pop-Tart.
Toby Flood.
God's sake!
He's funny. So, final question in this week's Rugby Social. And what did Ireland skipper Paul O'Connell get for his 34th birthday as a treat from his wife?
Oh,
was it A, free pass to have a night outside of the matrimonial relationship? Was it B, bacon made into the number 34? Or was it C, a bottle of total sunblock?
I think
I know the answer.
But I think it's 34 after
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad.
But yeah, that's what I was thinking. Maybe him and his missus are big Breaking Bad fans.
You're both right.
Yeah. Yes.
And he does it. It is due to a love of Breaking Bad.
Hang on, do we have a tiebreaker? Do we need a tiebreaker?
No. I got the first one right. Oh, yeah. I win again.
Phil wins again.
Another round of Rugby Social.
That was Rugby Social. But I just played a little clip of Brian Moore's commentary, which keeps us entertained all the time.
Toby Flood.
God's sake! Why is he even doing that? You're a fullback! Get me on the back line!
Well, I found a commentator which is potentially even better than Brian Moore.
Wow. And
I thought I'd play this because Rugby League has returned.
Yes!
Super League was back. The Men of Steel and all that. I've got a clip of a Rugby League commentator, Castlefield's own commentator, like club commentator.
Oh, yes.
You know the guy, do you?
I've seen him. Oh, yes, yeah, quality. I love it.
Andy A. Oh, what about that? Send him off! Send the dressing gates off! Get him off the field! That was diabolical! Get him off the field! That was absolute diabolical! It's going to be a yellow card! I can't speak! You bottle this get, Campbell! You bottle this get! I can't speak!
Have you heard it when Castlefield score, though, later on?
Yes, I have. It's this bit.
Oh, Steinbeck! Oh, that's his head! What about him as a try? Shoving up yours! He's the best prop in the world! Never mind anybody else! That takes... We all can't spake!
We can't spake!
Spake! Spake.
Amazing. Brilliant. So, yeah, all right, Rugby League. We've got Brian Moore. But Rugby League is back. And I suppose that work that takes us nicely onto, we should really talk Sam Burgess.
Oh, yes.
Because the rumour is that in a joint deal, Bath and the RFU are going to fund the transfer of Sam Burgess, not only from Australia to the UK, but from Rugby League to Rugby Union, from the South Sydney Rabbitohs to potentially Bath to fill the 12 position for England, is what apparently the rumour is.
Why? I don't get this.
Well, yeah. Why? For one. Because they've got four 12s in the squad. Yeah. You've got
Brad
four
Barrett, Billy 12 Trees, Luther Burrell.
And Eastman.
And Carl Eastman.
Yeah, I mean, what are we getting here? We're getting a slightly different version of Burrell, really.
Yeah, or 12 Trees. Slightly bigger. Probably not as
Burrell
good ball player.
Burrell and 12 Trees combined.
Well, yeah. Basically, Sam Burgess is regarded as, and he's still, 24 years old?
25 years.
25. He's had 4 years at South Sydney Rabbitohs, and is pretty much regarded as, well, far, head and shoulders, the best English rugby league player.
Yeah.
Mm. And would walk into any team in the NRL.
Won't it look very peculiar at Bath when their options for 12 are Kyle Eastman?
Kyle Eastman, 5'6".
Yes, exactly.
5'6", and Sam Burgess at 6'5".
Yeah. Which one are you going to go for?
Pete, he's an absolute beast of a man and hard as nails, quick. He's got a step, can offload. He's got every trick in the book. So you can see why Stuart Lancaster's going.
By all means, bring him over. And I think if you do bring him over, Bath is as good a place for him to go as any.
Yeah. But are you not missing a trick by putting him at 12?
I was going to ask you, Phil, because me and JB both being forwards, I'm thinking in the modern day, 12 is the most, just about the most technical position defensively, especially.
13. Yeah, you've got to be able to, you've got to have great game management because, like, look at people like Mike Catt, who's played there last few, oh, well, 5 years or so ago, who was like an extra 10. 12 Trees, again, can play like an extra 10.
But Jamie Roberts?
Not so much.
Not at all.
But you can have these who are distributors and kickers but have to be very astute defensively and organisers and all that. So to transfer someone, because he would only come in at the start of next season, he would have 1 year before the World Cup. Is it not a bit short-sighted to try and convert him in 1 year to be an international 12?
Yeah.
Well, some of the people have been saying chuck him on the flank.
That would be crazy, because 12 is hard, but it's kind of similar to rugby league, isn't it, in a lot of ways. Flanker, yeah. They've never... I remember watching Andy Farrell's first game live in Vicarage Road, and they brought him on at 6. He hadn't got a clue. And the next week he was moved to 12. So he started at 6, moved to 12. And I think that's probably what they look to do, but that wasn't a massive success.
It's clearly, in terms of raw attributes, he's got some amazing skill. I've got a little clip that I found of Russell Crowe talking about Sam Burgess.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Which I thought, because seeing as he's the co-owner of the South Sydney Rabbitohs, he was the man who basically brokered the deal and actually met with Sam Burgess when he was filming for Robin Hood. He met and said, come and play for us, when Sam Burgess was 21. And this is Russell Crowe talking about Sam Burgess in a little documentary that's been made and played out in Australia about Sam Burgess called Slammin' Sam.
He's a guy who can be as vicious as he needs to be. He can do anything he needs to do during the course of the 80 minutes to bring a result towards his team. His will to win rises to any occasion. But the moment that final whistle's blown, he's a completely different man. He's able to laugh easily. He's good with kids, respectful to women. He appreciates life. He has that thing built within him to never quit. And if you're going to do something, you do it to the absolute utmost of your ability. People talk of these once-in-a-generation type of players. The Americans call them a franchise player, the individual that can be a catalyst. They excite, they inspire, they light up the stadium. And you can appreciate their skill, but what you love is their determination. And it's the nature of that person beyond the game itself that's the true distinction. And you can build a dynasty.
So he's spoken about in pretty high terms. That, bearing in mind, from last week's movie 15, that was our fly half. Talking about England's potential centre.
I wish Russell Crowe would talk about me in that way.
When he was saying he's good with kids and respectful for women, what does that say about the rest of the South Sydney Rabbitohs?
Oh, please tell
me. He stands out on those grounds.
The reports I'm reading are like, it's a done deal, he's definitely coming. But not only did Russell Crowe talk about him like that, like he is the player, and along with his three brothers at the South Sydney Rabbitohs that they want to build a team around, but there's also the fact that he's with his three brothers. There's also the fact, when you watch that documentary, as I have done, it's pretty amazing. Their dad, the father, died, and Russell Crowe's got really, really close with Sam Burgess over the years, and actually, before one big game, pulled him aside and said, there you go, have that. And it was an honorary membership of the South Sydney Rabbitohs for his dad. And basically, the seat next to Russell Crowe's belongs to Mike Burgess, their father, who's passed away. So there is an unbelievable sort of connection and feeling between Sam Burgess and that club.
Yeah. That's a very Hollywood American thing to give his dead dad a seat. Do you think? It's very nice.
But that's a nice touch. I think he meant it sincerely. And
Yeah. It's a great touch. So the point you're making is how reluctant is Russell Crowe and the South Sydney Rabbitohs
and Sam Burgess. Does he want to leave his three brothers and his mum, who are all living down there in Australia as well?
Because his mum's actually got a job there, hasn't she? She didn't watch the World Cup because she had to work in Australia.
Yeah, he can get citizenship in another year.
No. Nah. Australia's overrated. And besides, if you're going to live in Bath, excellent. You're going to play rugby, excellent. Then play for England, why not?
He's got a shot at winning the World Cup as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's watched Sonny Bill do it. He can always go back.
Yeah, and Sonny, do some boxing. And I think they'd be missing a trick at 12, putting him at 12. I'd like to see him at second row.
What?
He's 6'5 and 18 stone.
Imagine...
For me, he has all the skills that he needs to be an international second row and some more on top of that. Okay. So what harm is it? It's like a second row plus.
I mean, this is just a guess, but I'm pretty sure that he'll never have rucked. He'll have never have mauled. Have you ever tried to lift someone in a lineout who's never been lifted?
As me and JB are thinking through all the drills we do and the technicalities of mauling and stuff and the body positions you have to be in, and it's a really technical position. It's a really technical
position. Yeah. I understand the technicality of playing back row. I'll hold my hands up if I'm wrong, and if people get onto us on Twitter and say...
they will.
I don't think second rows are just tall. I think there's a lot of...
No, but I think
they do a lot of rucking as well, for one.
He has all the physical attributes to be a second row and some on top of that as well.
Mm.
Whereas I'd question whether his game management and all that kind of thing and his understanding of the overall game would be too weak to be an inside centre.
I think it's the only place that these guys have ever been successful. The weight of evidence says wing, well, fullback, centre.
I spoke to some rugby league friends of mine, and they were like, if it is a massive nail in the coffin of rugby league if we lose Sam Burgess because he's that good and that important for England at rugby league. But on the flip side, it's like, well, what have England got to lose? We potentially have got a guy that's got skills that surpass what we already have. Why not? Why not?
Yeah, if they've got the finances available to do it, which I think they are if you do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why not try it? But I would personally love to see him in the second row.
I think an inside centre is exactly where they're thinking about him, much in the Sonny Bill kind, because he can distribute, he's got a brilliant step, he can offload out of the tackle.
I have no idea if he can distribute or not.
He's a rugby league player, all their skills are awesome.
I guess.
If you're playing top-level rugby league in Australia, you can distribute.
You can pass the ball.
At full pelt in the opposition's face.
Yeah. He's a pretty phenomenal athlete, so yeah, we'll watch that one with interest. The transfers will slow down a little bit.
Do you know what I think is really, really odd about the transfers? No Freddie Burns news yet.
As to where he's going?
Yeah.
Neither has we had any news on Toby Flood.
No, nothing official.
That's a good point.
Other transfer news, Laidlaw to Sale.
Well, that's been rumoured. They've come out and said they want him.
A little bird has told me that he was around Carrington last week. But he might just cost a bit too much.
I think that would be a good move for Sale.
Do you?
I think he's a solid player.
Well, they're losing Peel, and the scrum halves they've got aren't good enough yet.
Yeah. So I think he'd be a good signing.
Yeah. It's just unusual for Sale to buy a young international. That's usually what they like to sell.
Yeah. I'm sure there'd be a 37-year-old scrum half they can pick up from somewhere.
Have they phoned Andy Nicol yet? See if he's available.
Maybe Brian Redpath can just put his booze back on. Right. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to do a Dream 15 in a couple of minutes' time, but a quick rugby Oki interlude, I reckon.
Oh, yeah.
And do you know what? It's like it's gone full circle on the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. Here we are on episode 20. I can't believe we've been doing this nearly 5 months. And it all started from Alex Corbisiero's rapping.
Keep it kind of quiet, people on a diet. Scrum is straight, Tom is right, I don't deny it.
And then we learnt of his England colleague Matt Stevens' shady past on Celebrity X Factor. I just wanna hold you close. I'll feel your heart so close to mine. And you stay here in this moment above all the rest of time. Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. And then, after me and JB had spent a lot of time on the internet looking at James Haskell's website and Ben Foden's website.
A lot of time.
A lot of time. We stumbled across Ben Foden doing a bit of singing.
What you doing, Ben?
I'm doing nothing.
Well, I've got to say, I've got to get the Twitter page up so I can give props to what Katie said for drawing our attention to Ben Foden, who is
She's a very good follower.
Rich source of content, so thank you very much, Katie. She's let us know that Ben Foden's been at it again. He's been singing with his missus. This is what happens when Ben Foden gets injured. He gets in the recording studio, and he's in an actual recording studio. Una from the Una Saturday, the delicious Una Saturday, as JB calls her, is there playing guitar, and Ben Foden is doing a version of Tom Petty's Free Falling. And I'm a bad boy. He doesn't pronounce that. He is like, he falling.
You think that's the biggest problem, do you?
Yeah. Yes, Ben Foden, Rugby Oki, love it.
Why does he do it?
Well, he's obviously an avid listener to the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast.
Is this and more he just content
wants,
for us?
Wants more airtime.
Yeah, he was getting annoyed with all the Irishmen getting featured in the last couple of weeks and wants to bring it back home to its roots. Good man, Ben, I salute you for that.
Yeah, fair play.
Okay, well, let's briefly talk about the Premiership because it's easy to let that get sidetracked totally from the matches just because the Six Nations were on. And we didn't mention Ireland France really too much. It was just pretty.
Italy France, sorry.
It was just a bit of a routine.
I don't think it was. I don't think France looked that good again.
Yeah, I think they won.
No, hold on. They looked amazing in their kit.
Sorry.
Looked amazing.
Pick'em-alls is a unit, isn't it?
Yeah, they looked sensational. Fofana.
Well, I think they won Ouger. Despite Philippe Saint-André. I don't know what it is about French coaches wanting to sink the national team, but like they queue up for this job and then they just systematically try and destroy French rugby. They did nothing first off, unless Pickermalls had the ball and could just bulldoze people. When you're 12, has to pick and go down the blind side to create a try.
They scored three opportunistic tries.
Yeah.
In the second half, where they were dominant and scored three tries, they were only in Italy's 22 for 6% of the time. Mm. Italy were in France's 22 for 30% of the time.
Play.
Crazy.
So it's a demonstration of that like clinical finishing and ruthlessness rather than controlling the game and dominance.
All the French just bad coaches. Do you think that could be it?
I will say the more structured rugby gets, the sort of the less it plays into France's hands. They're best when, I know it's a stereotype, but it does.
The stereotypes exist for a reason.
The stereotype of them just like the abandon and running it from their own try line and stuff like that. That's what you love about watching
cracking
France,
open champagne on the halfway and that kind of thing.
And that's what two of their tries kind of were, particularly the other winger, Bonneval, which Fofana to Ougier to Bonneval to score. That was exactly that, the free-flowing and passing.
I think there's a lot for Italy to build on. I'm really starting to quite like them.
Scotland have got to go to Rome. And
I can't wait for this. I can't wait for that beatdown.
Yeah.
I say that I can't wait for it. The Italians really can't wait for it.
Yeah.
How ironic that they've finally found a fly-half and he happens to be Scottish.
Let's talk about the Premiership then. Because there was some really close games and some really unfortunate people. I mean, Worcester will be rueing that defeat to Leicester at home. One point they went down.
I'm feeling very sorry for Exeter.
Worcester.
Sorry, I also feel very sorry for Exeter, but we'll come on to that in a second.
Worcester looked on top. I saw Josh Drennan-Nuys try. Mm. And Worcester were looking pretty good. And the commentators were saying that they had been on top for long periods, but just couldn't close it out.
Cliche time, losing is a habit. And I think a team with a bit more behind them could have sealed off that game. Mm.
Chris Pennell, I mean, a really good fullback. Really, I mean, he's unlucky. If, you know, Rob Miller's a fine fullback and he's a good player for Sale and he's on his way to Wasp. But actually on form, you'd have to say Chris Pennell's unlucky not to be Saxon's fullback. He's probably been one of the form players in the Premiership in that position.
He's even more unlucky the fact that he's decided to sign a two-year
deal.
Could say, what a refreshing change that someone who's come through an academy and is going, oh no, I'm going to stick with my club.
No, I'd go with idiot. he needs to get out of there. And actually, hopefully his performances will be strong enough that when they go down this year, someone like Northampton or
there'll be plenty of teams that will be lining up for him. Let's got to mention London Irish. That was a fantastic victory. I mean, it's easy to say, as you know, Saracens fans will probably try and say, oh, we're missing our internationals. But running down the Saracens 15 that lost at home to London Irish, the first time they've been beaten at home, there was Chris Ashton, Marcello Bosch, international.
Yep.
David Strettle, Charlie Hodgson, who had a shocker, JB.
Really?
Neil de Kock. And they're all in the backs, internationals. And then in the forwards, international Matt Stevens, international Steve Borthwick, international Moritz Botha, international Jacques Berger, international Ernst Hubert. That is a good team.
What Short Brits was it? Was
on the bench.
On the bench.
Along with Jim.
Shout Bricks, James Johnston on the bench.
Cruz,
who's in England Saxons player, on the bench. Richard Wigglesworth on the bench. Joel Tompkins on the bench.
Oh my God.
And the firepower they've got is frightening. And fair play, London Irish, for turning him over.
That is a brilliant result. Yeah.
I think London Irish have been threatening a big result for a long time, but I wouldn't have expected it in that game.
I'll tell you what, they actually kind of took him on up front.
Second rows.
Well, it was a fine offload from their second row, Nick Rouse, to Matt Parr. Two guys picked up from Nottingham last season, who both put in a show. Eamon Sheridan, Fergus Mulcrone, had big games.
Our latest follower.
Eamon Sheridan, is he?
Yes, yeah. I was absolutely delighted.
Good lad.
By that.
Welcome on board, Eamon. It's at Rugby Podcast on Twitter if you want to join Eamon Sheridan. But him and Fergus Mulcrone did a typically Irish thing of choke tackles. The choke tackle. They killed Saracens with choke tackles.
Their season's not been the best at times. No. Had some poor performances, but they are starting to put some results together now. Mm. They're looking good.
Yeah, you mentioned Exeter will be devastated.
Is that
at home to Northampton?
Yeah, that was a real kick in the teeth, that one.
I mean, again, looking at Northampton's team without their internationals is still pretty frightening.
Earlier in the season when Northampton played Saracens during the autumn internationals and Ernst Joubert went on record before the match saying that he felt a bit sorry for Northampton because they didn't have the depth of squad that Saracens did, and Northampton put 40 points on them.
Yeah.
And then Saracens, without their current international, some of their current internationals during the Six Nations, again, lost to London Irish. So that's perhaps a sign that their depth
isn't quite what we think it is.
Yeah, probably in some positions. In others, they quite clearly do have it, but not all around.
Without that leader of men, Owen Farrell.
Who had another good game.
He had a good game, whilst, I will point out, as I say, Charlie Hodgson had a poor game for Saracens.
When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. And I will say, this Six Nations, he's looked really good. Not put a foot wrong yet.
And Saracens are missing him.
Yeah, amazingly.
You might have to reevaluate your whole outlook on life, JP.
No, Sir Charlie will be pulling the strings again soon.
Bath, it was a pretty routine victory. I mean, it's 3-3 at half-time at home to Newcastle in pretty, you know, not the best of conditions.
Yeah.
The wagon keeps on rolling for Bath with a front row of Nathan Catt, Orlandi and Webber.
That is massive.
Yeah, I mean, that's second string props, that.
Yeah.
Well, I think third string in the case of Orlandi.
I think Nathan Catt is going to be first string next year, surely.
With Paul James.
Yeah, absolutely.
He is looking pretty tidy. Well, boys, we've been invited by BT Sport to go and hang out with their commentary team and whatnot at the AJ Bell Stadium for Sale Sharks hosting Saracens.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, lovely.
So that's on Friday, this Friday, the 14th of February.
This Friday?
This Friday, Valentine's Day. So, JB, you'll be there, will you?
100%. Absolutely.
This is the final Valentine's Day before you get married. Are you sure you want to do that, Jay?
I give you my word. I'd 100% rather be at Sale this Friday than doing anything else. So I'll see you there. I guarantee.
Sure, you haven't got a penis to go and watch. Phil, you'll be there. Obviously, Phil will. Phil's only early days in a relationship. That's fine.
We'll see.
Well, I've noticed that tonight you've pushed your fringe down over your forehead. Is that to cover up a thumbprint? Right. There is one final thing we've got to do on this week's podcast, and that is pick a dream team. Ooh, and last week's got a load of... Well, it's not even a dream team we're picking, actually, because I don't know if we're going to get 1 to 15. Basically, I noticed during the Scotland-England game, doesn't Scott Johnson look like Gerard Depardieu, the French actor?
He does. He absolutely does.
I once had a dare to go up to Scott Johnson in a sportsman's dinner and say that I really liked his role in Highlander, but I didn't really get it.
This is Gerard Depardieu.
Oh, wow!
He's the spit of Scott Johnson.
My God. Is he good at losing rugby games as well? Bet he wouldn't bring off David Denton.
He's good at urinating in public.
Oh, really?
Yep. Yeah, so he'd probably fit quite well with... in rugby circles. So I thought rugby lookalikes. What rugby lookalikes can we come up with? And if we get a 15, that's fine. Otherwise, just a list of good rugby lookalikes. So another one I noticed over the weekend, and that was the fact that Johnny Sexton and Devon Toner have the same face. Devon Toner is Johnny Sexton on stilts. And you've mentioned it before about a couple of players who look identical, JB.
Yeah, I would have...
There's a few in the England team.
Yeah.
Dylan Hartley.
Chris Ashton.
Brad Barrett, Corbusiero.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
From long distance, you can't tell. Like, from an overview of the pitch, you can't tell who's who.
Hang on, there's one more as well. Brad Barrett. Oh, Dan Lydiate and the new prop, Jones.
Rodri Jones.
So we could have a front row of Ashton, Barrett and Lydiate.
Well, I would also... You could have an all-English front row because Joe Simpson looks exactly like a slimmed-down Dan Cole.
He does.
So can we have Dan Cole at scrum half?
Yes.
Dan Cole also looks a bit like the Honey Monster, I think.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say Samson Lee looks like the Honey Monster.
Yeah. Totally. There's one I've mentioned before in a previous podcast, James O'Connor and Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
Yes, that's very good.
Total spit. So we can have Justin Bieber at fullback.
One I spotted the other day, just on Saturday actually, was Mike Brown and namesake Charlie Brown.
The old classic of... Leinster.
Leo Cullen.
Leo
Cullen and the big friendly giant.
Yeah.
Roald Dahl's BFG. Yeah.
That one's uncanny, actually.
Yeah, it's quite astonishing.
Tana Umanga. Do you remember everyone used to say he looked like Predator?
Yes.
Yeah. Possibly. This is quite a good team.
Richard Hibbard's like a fat Robbie Savage. What else did I get? Wayne Barnes, your favourite ref, JB.
Oh, there was a great tweet about this.
Tintin.
No. Oh.
I like the look of it.
You've got to find. Someone sent us a tweet saying about Wayne Barnes being on Family Fortunes.
Did they?
Oh, yeah. search it on Twitter, Wayne Bourne Family Fortunes. It is hilarious.
I'll do some other ones while you're okay. While you're finding that for Phil.
Burger Masco and Jack Burger.
Yes.
Yes, oh yeah.
That's good. Victor Matfield and former WWE wrestler Razor Ramon.
That's awesome.
Martin Johnson and Lieutenant Worf out of Star Trek. Mike Tyndall and Shrek. Phil Warren Shrek. Or Phil Warren Sloth from the Goonies.
Yeah, Phil Ward, definitely.
Will Carling and a bum. So, Brian Ashton and Yoda.
What about Charteris and Warburton?
Yeah, you're right. Warburton on stilts equals Luke Charteris. What was the player you were looking for?
I was looking for Wayne Barnes' Family Fortunes tweet, but...
Oh, sorry, Stuart Bonds.
Oh, Stuart Bonds.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Stuart Bonds, sorry. It is really funny.
Zero results again.
Zero results.
Yeah, maybe it is not that then. Oh, well.
Have you dreamt a tweet?
No, it's very, very funny, and I can't remember who sent it. If you are that person that sent us the tweet... Have you,
it's not Family Fortunes. It says someone has tweeted they were watching an episode of Pointless.
That's the one.
And Seb Lumsden, I'm giving you props, Seb Lumsden. I don't know if you're a rugby player, Seb. You've got a rugby kit on in your picture. He's a part-time Leeds uni student and says he's a full-time legend.
Agreed.
You are in my eyes. He says, Will Greenwood, have you seen your pal Stuart Barnes on Pointless today? Hashtag uncanny. And then he's posted...
Poor lady.
Can you retweet that from where you are, Tim?
Right, I'm retweeting that now from @rugbypodcast as we're recording this podcast. So if it's not the latest tweet you've seen, go and look through our previous tweets. That is so uncanny. Amazing.
I told you it was worth it.
It absolutely was.
That was worth the wait.
Jay.
And we're going out on a high, JB. Do you want to sing us out, Phil?
Because his brother has been in the news, can we have... Is it George Burgess or Tom Burgess? One of the Burgess twins.
The one who doesn't take pictures of his penis.
Ooh. Oh, yes.
Was it the one who takes... Or was it...
I don't know.
George Burgess is the one who's taken nude selfies, which have been posted on the internet.
Who is he sending them to?
I mean, if I look like that, I might take nude pictures of myself. I'm not talking about any... Just talking about anyway. It doesn't matter. I'm digging a hole now. Tom is the other brother. They're the two twins. George and Tom are the two young twins. Sam is the middle one. And
one wraps, one strips.
And Luke is the elder.
No, he said it's his brother.
Tom Burgess, brother of potential future England inside centre, Sam Burgess, rapping, doing Kanye West
this
and Jay-Z.
Is so awkward.
This is awful. But I apologise in advance. I'll just say we'll see you next time and it'll all be better again. Here goes Tom Burgess.
I ain't been a swag. Popping bottles, talking supermodels in the cab.
Bye, Tim.
I guess I got my swagger back. Truth, you watch alert. Few blows on them big face rolling. I got two of those. Arm out the window through the city. I maneuver so. Cop back, snap back. See my cut through the hose. Sam crazy, well, I'm about to go dumb again. They ain't see me cause I pulled up in my other bands. Last week I was in my other bands. Throw your diamonds up cause we're in this bitch another game. For the shoot fresh. Looking like wealth.
Hi, I'm Paul Skullthorpe, and I listen to Exercise Podcast.
That is wonderful. All right.